All right. Good morning, His Tabernacle family. How we doing? All right. Half of us are still asleep. Half of us aren't paying attention. How we doing? All right. Look, I got four things to share with you. Number one, welcome. We're glad you're here. We got live stream going on. I want to welcome everybody watching online. Hey, if you are new or if you're old, turn to somebody and say, are you new or old? New or old. Either way, if you want to get connected, right over here, we got a connect room after service. We got some pastors. We got some staff. We want to know you. There is zero reason, listen to me, zero reason for you to come here and say, I don't feel connected. That's okay, but come to the connect room. Turn to your neighbor and say, come to the connect room. It's all right. Okay, number two, we're going back to the parks. Look, we do this thing called the Summer Parks Program. We go into the parks. We bring some food. We bring some clothes. We hand it out. We preach the gospel. How many of you guys know that just coming here on a Sunday morning doesn't mean you're a Christian, doesn't mean you're fulfilling the Great Commission? If you want to be a Christian, if you want to do what God's called us to do, perfect opportunity, the Summer Parks Program. You want to learn more about it? You should. All right, go to the back. It's called the Info Center. Talk to somebody, hit up Carolyn Jackson, either way. And then number three, Uproar Conference is right around the corner. Can you believe it? It's gonna be crazy. Look, I haven't been a youth for years, but I've always gone every single year. I just sneak in. I'm just like, yeah, can I come? I'm here. Cool. But the best way to sneak in is through serving. So if you want to serve, there are a lot of opportunities. Because look, the youth in this area, the youth and young adults in this area, they need an encounter with God. And they can't do that if they're worried about, oh, is this ticket right? Oh, was my t-shirt? Oh, the bathrooms are dirty. No. We move everything out of the way so the youth and the young adults in this area can have an encounter with the living God. So we need you to help volunteer. Again, meet Pastor Aaron. There is a volunteer meeting on the 27th. We need you. And number four, how many of you guys love the leadership at this church? Mindy has just released her first book. It's called Kill the Copycat. You see that, the camera? Woo! Look, and here's the thing. Now, we know there's a lot of books in the house, but this one thing with this book, Mindy doesn't write books just for fun. She's not at home just thinking of a new book idea. This is something she literally did not want to do. She said, God, no thanks. God, please no. God, triple no. And then she went and she said, went to someone else and said, you should write this book. They said, no, you need to write the book. So kicking and screaming, she wrote the book because she knew people need to hear this message. It's called Kill the Copycat. Look, we're selling these out there. You need to get a copy. If you struggle with comparison or if you just want to grow as a Christian in general, get this book, all right? Amen, amen. Now look, stand to your feet. We're going to get right into worship. All across this room, even begin to lift your hands, begin to pray in your prayer language. God, we are here for you. We are excited. We didn't show up this morning just because it was a fun thing to do. God, we showed up because we want to meet you. God, we showed up because we want to encounter you. God, we know that you are in this place, and we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So I thank you, God, for the freedom that's in this room right now. Some of you came in with addictions. You came in with struggles. And even right now, before the music even starts, God is speaking to you. God is delivering you, not because of a man or a place or an area, but because God is here. Jesus, we are here for you. Jesus, we're here for you. Have your way, oh God. We love you. And all God's people said, amen.
Who's ready to bless the Lord this morning? Right now, just use it and stir up the gifts of the Holy Spirit within you. Consume us, Lord. A fresh refilling, consume completely. A fresh refilling, consume completely. So you can increase, I must increase.
Love you like you love us, but we put all that we have into the love that we have for you. We thank you that you have been kind, you have been loving, you have been merciful, and you have been forgiving. We honor you in this place today. We give your name glory, we give your name honor, we give your name worship, and we give you praise. Fill this place today with your presence, Lord God. Your word says that when we come into a worship environment, we make an appointment, Lord God, to come before you. And you are a faithful God. When we make the appointment to come before you, you always show up. So we thank you for showing up today. Be God in this place. Bless your people. Meet the needs of your people. And help your people to meet your need of love and adoration to you. You are our Father. We have no other Father but you. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. 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 And amen. Hallelujah.
Today, so don't tune me out. It's a good one today, I promise. I promise. All right, so we're gonna be reading out of 2 Corinthians 9, starting with verse 7. It says, "You must each decide in your own heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others." We're going to stop there for a second, because if you pay attention to us, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give. See, that's our response to obedience. And I know we hate that word, obedience or obey. It's like someone says it and we're like, "Oh, why are you cussing around me?" But listen, I don't know. The more I read God's word, the more I find that when we obey God's word, it's always wrapped up in a promise. It's always wrapped up in blessing. It's always wrapped up in more than enough. And I don't know about you, I want to have more than enough. I want to be able to share and be generous with people in need. I'm sick and tired of seeing the wicked have all this money and there's so many needs everywhere and they're not being met because that wealth is in the wrong hands. I want to see this house, God's people, so prosperous that we can be generous, and the minute someone says, "Oh, there's a need," it's already taken care of. That's the kind of life that I want to live. But it starts with our obedience. So in verse 7 here, it says how much you decide in your own heart how much to give. That is your response with obedience to what the Lord lays on your heart. And that's above, you know, the 10%, but sowing a seed. So the cool part, verse 8, it goes along with Psalms 112:9. So we're going to go there really quick, because then this is the cool part. "They share freely and give generously to those in need." This is talking about the righteous ones. Do I have a room full of righteous ones? Do I have a room full of people who love the Lord? Well, guess what? In our obedience, it's not just talking about, you know, when we give our heart to Jesus and we stop sinning and we're doing all these things. It's our obedience in the fullness of all that God asks for us. So in regards to our finances, when we choose to step out in obedience and we obey, I just want to read you some amazing things that follow those who obey the word of the Lord. This is what is your portion right here. When we don't give grudgingly, when we don't give in response to pressure, you know, we get up here, some people get up here sometimes and they share the things that they need money for or whatever, and we feel like, "Oh, I have to give. But we're not giving out of obedience and joyfully. We're giving out of pressure. Don't give out of pressure. Don't give grudgingly or just out of, "Reluctantly, I have to just throw my money in." Give with joy. Give with that joyful obedience. And this is what it will produce in your life. You will have joy. You will have successful children. I want successful children. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. We are that generation, and the generation after us will be blessed because of our obedience to the word of God. Wealth and good deeds will last forever in your life. And that wealth isn't just like the cute, like, religious thing where we're like, "Oh, I'm wealthy in spirit, brother." No, it's talking about your finances. He wants you to have an abundance. He wants you to have more than enough. And your good deeds will be talked about forever. I want my good deeds talked about because it glorifies God. Your light will shine in the darkness. God's called us to be the salt and the light of the earth. When you're generous, when you're a giver, when you obey the voice and the commandments of the Lord, your light will shine to those around you who need Jesus. When they see that you don't struggle financially, that you get to pay for things with no problem and you're blessing other people, that is a bright light that shines in the times we live in right now. People need to see that, but that's what will follow you. You'll be generous, compassionate, and you'll live a righteous life. Good things will keep coming when you lend money generously. You'll not be overcome by evil. You'll be remembered. You'll be able to fully trust in God. That means anytime that the economy fails or dips or whatever, we know when we give and obey God's word, we can sleep at night. We can have peace because we know that I trust God as my provider and he's not going to let me fail. You'll have influence and honor. We need influence. He will provide all you need and more. I don't know about you, but I've also read where it says that he's the God who does above all we can even ask, think, or imagine. I'm telling you, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to step out in faith. And listen, this isn't just for people who maybe haven't started to give yet. This is for you who've been giving, but it's been the same amount. Day in and day out, week after week, it's the same amount. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Maybe he wants to take you to that next level. Maybe he wants to use your life to be a blessing to the community and those around you. Obey the voice of the Lord if he's prompting you to step out to give more. Again, this is not about your money. This is about our obedience to God in the realm of our finances. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. Like I said, I want to be able to be the people when there's a need, we don't even have to think twice. Oh, I got it. Let me take care of that for you. Oh, you need that paid for? We got it. We're sending people now. Finances are secured. I want that to be said of this house and of this family. Amen? So go ahead and stand to your feet. We're gonna get ready to give. And declare this out loud with me, because this is the key. If I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings are chasing me down. They're tripping me up, because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. Go ahead and bring your tithes and offering up to the Lord.
Today is Father's Day. I'm asking all the fathers to stand up. All right, all right, all right. That's right, give them a praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to speak a blessing over the father. With all that's going on in our society today, it's awful how we disregard people that God have established. God established fathers. And so I want you to know that God has a blessing for you. God has a plan for you. It's not by chance that you are a father. And you have a responsibility that God wants you to know about. Amen? Amen. So I praise God for you being here. You're in a good place at a good time. You're going to hear a word that God wants you to hear. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Before I get started this morning, I want to acknowledge our pastors, Pastor Rhonda Spencer and Pastor Michael Spencer, for giving us an opportunity to stand before you today. I've been in ministry for over 44 years, I think. And it's been crazy the whole while, but it's always been good. Even when I didn't think I was in the right place, but I thought I heard from God, God would take what looked bad and would turn it around for good. But Pastor Spencer, we've been here a little over 2 years. And from the first time we came in, we knew the Spirit of God was here. We weren't sure we were supposed to stay here. But as we kept coming, we kept seeing more and more of the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, and people were being taught. Okay? After a couple of weeks, God said, this is the place. And Pastor Spencer opened up his heart and told us to come in. And after, I think it was this past December, he ordained us under his covering. And I'm grateful for that. Okay, I've been in a lot of places where it wasn't that way. You had to earn your way in, and every Sunday you had to prove over and over again that you were a child of God. Okay, but so as a result of that, I've always been a little bit weary. What is he going to ask me to do next? We were sitting down having lunch one day, and he says, man, you're in. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to say anything else. We accept the anointing that God has on your life, and I'm grateful for that. So today I can stand before you. I don't have to prove anything. Okay, I feel comfortable here. I was sitting on the platform this morning waiting to be afraid. It never came. Okay, because this feels like home. I don't have to be guarded by what I say. I believe everything that they are teaching. Okay, and so I can say what I'm saying because I'm not saying anything you haven't already heard before.
Amen.
All right, so I want to acknowledge Pastor Spencer's anointing and that God has put him in this area to be a voice and a prophet over this region.
Yes.
Amen. And then I want to acknowledge my wife of 45 years next month. She's been gracious and merciful all those times I've made many, many mistakes. She never threw me out. I know I came close a few times. But I put on a sad face and God would touch her heart. And she'd bring me back in, praise God. So I'm glad that she's here. So this morning, I'd like to talk to the fathers and the men that will be fathers one day. Today is Father's Day, and I want to address you under the topic of the secret to fatherhood. I'm going to use the creation story in Genesis and the covenant of Abraham in Genesis to establish this position. So I know I may say some things that you've already heard before, and it may sound like I'm trying to teach you instead of preach, and I am. I'm doing what I heard a brother say one time in ministry. He said, I'm going to tweach. I'm going to teach a little bit, and I'm going to preach a little bit. It will all work out for our good, okay? So hang in there with me. I like to pour everything that I have out before the Lord. And Pastor Spencer said, well, you know, why don't you do one of the services? I said, I've been worried about this because usually by the end of the first service, I've got no more energy left. I'm completely spent. So I tried to write this down in such a fashion that I wouldn't go over time. I know we have a service coming after, so I will stand here in a telephone booth, of those who know what a telephone booth is, okay, to try to make sure I stay on course, amen? So this will look a little bit different. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. So as a foundation, I want to go into the book of Genesis. And in Genesis, we find that God disclosed how he created the earth and his desire to have a family that he could express his love to and express his love through. Genesis records how God created the earth and made it a habitation. Then God created man. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, in the image, in his image, and in his likeness, and gave him authority over all the earth that he had created. Okay, and in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, he created them. Okay, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the face of the earth. God blessed Adam and Eve and gave them dominion over the whole earth. And God planted a garden in Eden and made to grow in it every tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And God took the man that he had made and put him in the garden to till it and to keep it. Now, Adam's original assignment in the garden was not to toil, because when God created the Garden of Eden, he made only the good plants to grow there, without thorns and without thistles. I want you to know, God never changed his mind. Amen. Okay? So when we're toiling and sweating beyond normal, we're not in the rest that God created us to be in. Think about that. We're not there. Adam's original assignment was to lord over the earth and to manage it. Their toiling and their sweating came in after the fall. Okay? Now, God is the God of a second chance. He created an opportunity to get out from under all that stuff. That's what we're going to talk about today. Okay? God created the earth and its systems in 6 days, and everything that God made, he said, was good and very good. The Lord commanded the man, saying, you shall eat freely of every tree in the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Adam and Eve were God's family, and he rested on the seventh day and hallowed it and declared it blessed and sanctified it as a day of rest. We agree with that? Amen. All right. Adam and Eve were God's first family and God's own creation, but they committed high treason in the garden by listening to Satan and disobeying God. I want to pause here just for a second. See, sometimes we think that this falling out of the plan of God can be some big, great thing in our mind. But it can be a very little thing as to what you submit yourself to. Somehow, Adam and Eve missed that part. But Satan had been around much longer than them, and he knew that God was real serious about authority and real serious about his word. All right? And if God is serious about his word, we have to be serious about his word, and then we got to be serious about our word. Oh, God. Hallelujah. And in their disobedience, they gave over to Satan dominion of the whole earth that God had given to them, just by one disobedience. The whole earth gave it away. There's a spiritual principle at work here. We become the servant of the one we obey. Knowing that, we should obey God, amen, not Satan. Amen. All right? Because Adam and Eve had been given dominion over the earth, Satan was able to steal it fair and square. Able to steal it fair and square. Unbelievable. By getting Adam and Eve to disobey God, Satan had no authority in the earth until it was given to him. Satan has no authority over you today unless you give it to him. So there's an easy punchline, isn't it? Don't give it to him. This is how Satan got legal jurisdiction over the earth. God is a stickler about his word, so to legally reestablish his authority in the earth, God needed a man to align himself with to reestablish his authority in the earth to carry out his plan for man in the earth. God selected a man named Abram. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to mess up here in a few minutes. I'm going to say Abraham sometime when I should say Abram, but I'm talking about the same person because they all become the same one. Abram become Abraham. All right? So if you're taking notes, don't get hung up if I say Abram when I should have said Abraham. I don't want to get you lost. Okay? But I know I'm subject to do that. So I thought I'd make up my excuse and now and try to get you to be prepared just in case. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, God issued Abraham an instruction and a promise. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and I will make you a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham obeyed, period, and became God's servant through his act of obedience. Okay? So obedience is a big deal with God. And God had legal entry into the earth again. Okay, now I know that there are people in here that read the Bible, and they know that Abraham had some stumbles in his obedience to God. But don't get hung up on that. He repented. Key. Newsflash. When you sin, repent. Don't stay out there and try to justify being right when you're wrong. It's real simple. One little thing. Repent. God doesn't ask you to slay a dragon when there are no dragons. He just says, repent. I'll fix it. I'll take it from there. All right? So Abraham repented, God forgave, and went on with his plan to have a family in the earth that he could that would have the power and the authority in the earth. Now, Minister Minnie was just talking a little while ago, giving out tithes and offering, about the fact that you have to have resources. We live in a country, okay, that's all about finances and money. If you got no money, you got no power. God knows that. This is not a surprise to him, okay? He wants the church to have money. Okay, so with all the things that are going on in the earth, oh, God, you have to have money to fight laws once they've been enacted and put into law. You just can't say, I disagree with them, they got to take it out. You got to pay all the legal bills to get the Congress and to get the Supreme Court to change laws once they've been enacted. So the church has got to have money for all the stuff that we see going on today that it will take money to change. Somebody's got to pay the bill to overturn to get this country back in the hands of God. That's a good place to say amen. That's a good place to shout because God want to bless you so you can do the right things so that you can support whatever it takes to get him God over this country again. So you got to have some money to have power in this country. Okay? Growth. Abraham needed to mature spiritually. He had to learn God. God first called Abram in Genesis chapter 12 and asked him to move away from his family and his kin to a new place. That was Abraham's first step of obedience. Abraham learned some things about God. By Genesis chapter 12, excuse me, chapter 17, Abram started to develop some character. Everybody said character.
Character.
All right. We do a whole class on character. It's a good place to attend. All right. We too must develop godly character. Developing godly character is not all automatic. We have to intentionally work at it. Abram began to understand the God that had called him out of his previous environment and offered him a new life and increased blessing in a new earth. So God put his seal on Abraham by changing his name from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, that means father of a multitude. Okay, God was up in the States. All right? But there was still more growth needed. Abraham had to separate himself from his nephew, Lot. Lot was not a bad man. How do I say that? The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, that Lot, when Lot was in Sodom, that Lot was a righteous man, and what he saw day after day in Sodom tormented his righteous soul. So Lot was righteous. All right? That's the point. But the Bible, but what does the Bible mean when it says righteous? It means that a man is upright, virtuous, and keep the commandments of God. But for a man to be righteous is not enough. Everybody said, not enough. I thought that was enough. No, it's not. You're quiet now. I think I got you with that one, didn't I? A man must also be committed to a relationship with God so that he can have impact. Everybody say impact. And influence in the area where he lives. Impact. People listen to you. Influence. People listen to you. You've got resources. If it takes money to go to court, you can go to court. All right, all right. Y'all talking some big stuff here today. God's listening. He's going to back you up. Okay, you get an opportunity to make a decision that you can stand. Okay, but God wants you to stand. And if you don't have the resources today, when the time comes, you will have them. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. All right. Using Lot as an example, Lot as a righteous man did not change Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah changed Lot. He had to accept the prevailing ways and attitudes of the people in the cities where he lived. There were not even 10 righteous men in Sodom and Gomorrah when God came to destroy them. And I know that because God promised Abraham that he would not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if he could find 10 righteous men there. And today it doesn't exist. Okay? So you would think that Lot, if he had influence, he would have been able to at least impact the lives of 10 people. But he couldn't. Because it required more than just righteousness. All right. Many times, we Christian men shipwreck our spiritual development by choosing to hold on tighter to our friends and our relatives than God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I know we don't like to hear that, but somebody got to say it. Today is my job. I got to say it. Okay, because God's calling us to a relationship with him, and sometimes we, the people that we like and that we grew up with and that we love to be around are not good for us where God's trying to take us. They can't go where God's taking us. So we have to make a decision to choose God over them. You don't have to hate them, but you just got to be closer to God. When God says something, it's got more influence than your God, I can't go there. My mind. My God. Amen. Amen. So far, I've established that God created the earth. God created man and woman, Adam and Eve, and gave them and made them one and gave them authority over the earth. Satan came on the scene and tricked Adam and Eve to disobey God, and Adam and Eve, by doing so, surrendered the whole their authority over the earth. God gave authority over the earth to man. Man gave authority over the earth to Satan. Now God needs a man to regain his legal entry into the earth again. God gains that legal authority in the earth through Abraham. All right? So that summarized everything I was trying to say. Okay, now we're going to get to the heart of the message. In Genesis chapter 18, the Lord visited Abraham in the plains of Mamre and accelerated his blessing upon him and set a time for the birth of his son Isaac through his wife Sarah. The Bible says that after the Lord visited Abraham, he was on his way to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to evaluate the sin that was crying out for justice from within them. Abraham followed him for a bit. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do, seeing that he shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?" God asked that question. It is clear from the question that Abraham's relationship with God had blossomed and developed to an active relationship. God was making house calls, showing up to his house, having dinner with him, and mapping out his plans for the earth. What he was going to do, how he was going to bless, and the important part that Abraham played in making all that come to pass. That was serious. That's big stuff when God starts showing up to your house. Pulling up at the table, asking questions, and giving you instruction. You have a position of influence by that time. All right. God. It was clear that God was not holding anything back in his relationship with Abraham. Then the Lord revealed the secret. Everybody say, "Here it comes." "For I know him," God talking about Abraham, said, "I picked him because I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the ways of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham all which he had spoken of him." That was big. Okay? It was clear that Abraham understood what God was going to do, and that was a big thing for him to stay in position. Watch this, because what God was going to do was going to expand beyond the lifespan of Abraham. Okay? So it was not all about us. Okay? If we do it right, God's promised 120 years. Okay? But some of the things that's going on in this earth, we've allowed to get out of sync. It may take a little bit longer than that. I don't know, okay, for God to do what he wants to do. But he's got to have somebody who knows his ways and trusts him enough to stay true to the cause until God shows up and do what he said he's going to do. All right? That's important. The secret is that we must take what we learn from our relationship with God and instill it in our children and our household as a legacy. What's a legacy? A legacy is something that you can take and pass on or give to somebody else that they will always have it. It will always be theirs. God wants to always be our God. He wants his word to always be of supreme importance in our life, okay? So that we can have influence and he can always call on us and work through us to bring about his desire from the earth. Somebody has to stay in that position. And God called the fathers to do that. Now, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but my mom had the power in our house. Mom said what goes and what don't go. Okay, and if she said it don't go, you better not be trying to do it. And if she said do it, you better be found trying to do it. Okay, it seemed like Dad came along for the ride. He could be the heavy, but he couldn't be heavy as Mama. Okay, but that's not the way God designed it. Thank God for the powerful women. I praise God for them. I probably wouldn't be standing here today if my mom didn't stay true to the course. All right? But God wants the men to take authority in their house, to make a plan for their house, getting instructions from God. Okay. Because God is committed to populate the heaven with the people from the earth. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it again because I know it sounds a little weird to you. God intends to populate heaven with people from the earth. All right? The angels serve God because that's all they know how to do. They were created for that. But you have a choice. And because you make a decision to follow God, God elevates you to a higher position. And those are the people that he wants in heaven. All right. But we, like Abraham, have an expiration date. So God is depending on us to have influence and impact that extends beyond our lifespan. God elevated his relationship with Abraham because Abraham learned that God was committed to his relationship with him. The promise of God moved from a promise to a covenant where Abraham was all in with everything that he had, and God was all in with everything that he had. Abraham had learned to rely on God's strength and abilities to manifest his plan in the earth. God's plan extended beyond Abraham's life expectancy. With the luxury of hindsight, we can look at what God said to Abraham, that he would make Abraham the father of a multitude, and see that Abraham died with just one child of promise, Isaac. Now, I got a confession to make. I used to be hard on Isaac because I felt he didn't do anything. He just sort of cruised on everything that Abraham gave him. Just went on along with it. I said this one time. I said, he was so slow. He was 40 years old. His dad had to get him a wife. He hadn't even thought about it. The women got that. But I learned that Isaac's job was to keep a relationship with God so he could pass that along to Jacob. And Jacob could pass it along to Joseph. So God's plan was still getting done in the earth. Amen. So if you're not careful, you'll miss that. Yeah. So some of the things that God said, oh God, listen to this. In 1975, we moved to New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire. And we became members of a small church, a little family church that had all of about 20, 25 people if everybody showed up on the same Sunday. But the pastor, God had given him a vision of ministering to a church of all different races and skin colors, okay? When he was a black man in New Hampshire, that people were giving money to keep the church going, but they wouldn't come to listen to what he had to say. But he held on to that vision until he was 84, 85 years old when he died. And he would all, when you got, the spirit got stirred up in him, he would talk about, God gave me a vision that I was going to preach to a church. He would say it this way. God showed him pushing a boat, a barge, down a river with all different colors of chickens on it. Okay, it was about being able to reach people of different nationalities and races and kindred. Okay, he never got there, but here I am. Okay, it's the same vision. It's the same promise. It didn't happen in his lifetime, But his son, his grandson, now they're doing what God gave him a vision that he was going to do through him. We got to get a bigger vision. I wrote down here, man, we got to get with the program. It's more than just about us. God's not limited to how we see things and how we think. He's trying to get us on his page so he can do more with us. Oh, God. Sarah and Abraham, one son from Sarah, his wife of promise. Yet when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, it is conservatively estimated that there were over 2 million people. Okay, so God kept his promise. Okay, Abraham had become a multitude. Oh, God. And they're still growing. All right. When Moses and his descendants of Abraham left out of Egypt, they were still operating under the Abrahamic covenant, and God was honoring his promise to Abraham. We have to recognize that it's not all about us. We got to get with God's program. In order for us men to fulfill our God-given assignment in the earth, we must learn to rely on God's strength and to be manifested in his plan for us in the earth. Abraham learned from God that his responsibility was to command his children and his household to keep the ways of the Lord, so that God would always have a people that he could work through, could work his plan in the earth through. Today we celebrate Father's Day, and if we want to do great things in the kingdom of God, God requires us fathers to do three things. There's more than three things now, okay, but I'm just going to deal with three today. Is that okay? All right. Here are the three things that we want to talk about that we learned from what God did in Abraham's life. That we must give God first place in our lives. Number two, and I know we think this is small, but it's big. We must teach our children and our whole household to keep the ways of the Lord. And number three, we must trust God to manifest his covenant promise through us. And if necessary, through our seed. Okay? When we give God first place in our lives, our significance is all about us obeying God's call on our life. When we teach our children and our household to keep God's ways, our relationship sealing with God becomes the floor for our children and our household. You got that? When we in our life, we're here. When our children come up, they start from here and go beyond that. Okay? I can't tell you the number of times I've seen complete families have to start all over again when the spiritual authority in their household leave and they have to learn God all over again because they didn't think it was important when the leader was alive. So they spend their whole life on a merry-go-round, relearning and redoing things that they should have, that had been done a long time ago, but they were not able to take advantage of it. That's a whole sermon right there.
Yeah.
All right. If we allow our ceiling to be the floor for our children, they will experience more of the Lord's covenant promises and blessings than we do because they benefit from all that we have learned and they accomplish much, much more for the kingdom of God. When we trust God to manifest his covenant promises through us, we submit ourselves to follow the Lord, and he obligates himself, the Lord obligates himself to bring his covenant promises into manifestation in our lives. And because God's responsible for it, we can't mess it up. We can't mess it up. Now, I know that the society that we live in tries to convince men that we don't need God, that we need to make our own way. And when we make our own way, I want you to know something. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. She seen me drying out up here. when we try to make our own way, that's not a blessing. That's a curse. Now, here's why I say that. Because what you make happen in your own strength, you have to maintain it in your own strength. What God blesses you with, God's responsible to maintain it. I'm telling you, there's no toil in that. All right? We gotta get on the right page. God's trying to get us to the point of rest where his blessings are perpetual. They just keep on coming. Oh, God. That is the reason that men succeed in business but fail in life. We never learn our God-given assignment, and as a result, our family never enter into the rest that God has promised us. Okay? But we serve a God of a second chance. Everybody say second chance. If you're here today and this is the first time that you've been challenged to give God first place in your life, that God holds you responsible to command your children and your household to follow his ways, and that God is committed to you to manifest his covenant promises in your life, we want to pray for you for a fresh start. Okay? And I can tell you, I've sat in the seat, and somebody says something like I just said, and you say, he ain't talking to me. I got it together. I don't need that. I don't want people to look at me and think I'm weak. I'm not weak. I'm strong. I've got news for you. You're weak. Not because you're not strong, but God, wherever you are, God wants you to be even better, even bigger, and even stronger. You can do more with God than you can do by yourself. That's just fact. I don't care who you are. So he's trying to give you an opportunity to do one simple thing. An act of obedience so that God can claim authority over your life again. Not just you, but your children, your household, and all the promises that God has. You know, sometimes we look back over our families and you wonder how we got so far away from God when we have had ministers and pastors and deacons and prophets in our family. But now you look at our family, they never heard about God. Until this generation. There's something wrong with that. So the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and I have to use this scripture a lot, that God says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and grant us a first start. A fresh start. You get to start all over with God. We had an excellent Bible men's meeting here last Wednesday. Pastor Banfield said one of the best we've had in a long time. We talked about forgiveness. Okay? And how we expect God to forgive us and we don't forgive other folk. Okay? We want all the blessings of God, but we never want to repent when we mess up. We better go back and read the Bible again. God requires obedience from us. And it's not just about us. We got a whole family of people that their life sort of is in the balance. Where if we don't get it right, God has to start with them all over again. Time is too precious. We can't afford for that to happen. All right? God is here, so we ask God to forgive us. Okay, for all of our faults, all of our errors. You notice I said all of our faults. If I say sin, I just jump straight to sin. People say, I ain't got no sin. So we call it faults. We call it errors. All of it's sin. Okay? But I wanted to sneak up on you. I didn't want you to get offended right away. I want you at least to hear what I was saying. But the moment that you decide that you want to ask God for forgiveness, The moment that happens in your heart, God sees you as forgiven. Okay? If you need a second chance, I want you to come to the altar. We want to pray with you. Okay? Come on. I don't know who you are, but I know God. He wouldn't ask you to come, okay, if he hadn't put it on your heart that it was time for you. Today is your day. Come on. Amen. My God. This is my buddy, Gordy. I got to pray for Gordy because he's got a special place. I'm going to pray with you first, okay? All right. All right. Come on, Pastor Cody. I need help. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Gordy. I thank you for everything that you've done in his life. I thank you that last Sunday you gave him a special fresh start. He was one of the people that were baptized here last Sunday. Father, I love the heart that you have given him. And I thank you for making him a man of God that glorifies and magnifies your name. I thank you for doing everything that you've always intended to be done in his life and in his lineage. Father, I thank you for moving in him and making him the man of God after your own heart. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm a sinner and I repent.
Okay, that's what you got to do. God says you repent.
And I'm ashamed.
That's all right. That's all right. God washes you clean. He gives you a fresh start. Okay. From this point forward, go on and sin no more. The Lord of praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Glory. The message today was intended to get you to commit to a deeper relationship with God. And I challenge you not to let it slip. This message demands a response from you. The question is, what are you going to do with what you heard? The choice and the future is up to you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. We're going to ask everyone to stand. Let's praise God for the breakthrough that our sister received today. Amen. For Gordy and for the young man that just came up and gave his life to God, let's praise God. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I think we're at the end of everything that we plan to do, so let's bless God and give God a praise. Father, we thank you for the word that we heard today. We thank you for the move of your spirit. We know you move because we asked you before we got started to move. We ask you to show up, Lord God, and have your way in this place. So we thank you that your will has been done, and we praise you for being God in our lives, God in this church, God in this town, God in this city, and God over this county. Father, you are God, and besides you, there is no other God. Thank you. We love you, and we praise you. You are our Lord, and you are God, and you are our Father. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. Thank you, sir. Pleasure working with you.